So we are continuing in our series, The Best of Who We, St. John's, Are. Now, last Sunday, we shared together in how St. John's had been instrumental in changing Newport forever. And I'm glad that working towards God's kind of change in this community was something that St. John's historically had given themselves over to. Newport, I think that we can all readily say, is all the better city because of the work that this congregation engaged in to make this a better place to be. We chose to get involved. We chose to say no to things like gambling and prostitution and bribery, all kinds of mob activity and political hypocrisy. We said no to all of that. We chose to say yes to decency, to community, to unity, and to purity, all those values that are found within God's Word. A social action committee was born here at St. John's, and then consequently there was a committee of 500 that was born within the larger community of which this church was a part, and others all throughout Newport joined in that effort. We explored how relevant and important biblical teaching was in this whole enterprise of rebirthing the city of Newport. And so the basis of this series is found within the book of Acts, chapter 14 and verse 27, which says, when they, and that's St. Paul and Barnabas, had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them, how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so in keeping with the book of Acts, I'm offering these messages as a way to report upon all the things that God has done with us and how God has used us as a church, as a congregation, to open doors of faith for other people, for ourselves, and then for those that are seeking Christ and those within our community. So the message of the gospel, the good news, is as relevant today as it was then, because we are still about that business of opening doors of faith for others, yes? Today, our focus is upon the work that we are beginning tonight, Vacation Bible School, or VBS, as we oftentimes like to call it. Now, that ministry to children is always very unique and special, isn't it? I can recall when I was a pastor in Great Britain, one of the congregations that I served, that I was on a monthly rotation, was a small little inner city chapel, if you will. They called it Thornaby Mission. And it was just a handful of people that would gather there Sunday to Sunday, and they were so faithful. And I won't forget that in Thornaby Mission, on the back wall, for example, we have beautiful stained glass, the altar stained glass behind me here. On the back wall, behind where the preacher spoke, they had all of these plaques that were fastened to the wall. What were these plaques? These plaques were all the prizes for contests that the children had won through scripture memorization. And there were decades of these plaques of contests between one church and another church. And so it really told a story of how important God's Word is and that relationship between the Word of God and children. And they took real pride in all of those plaques, obviously, or they wouldn't have placed them up on the wall like that. Well, Johnny's first day of school, when he went to school, the class was asked to put their right hand over their heart and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. It's something that we all have done growing up, and the teacher wanted the children to recite those words, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America," and she stopped when she noticed that Johnny's right hand was over the left side of his butt. And she couldn't quite understand that. And so She said, "Johnny, I will not continue with the Pledge of Allegiance until you put your hand over your heart." And little Johnny replied, saying, "Ma'am, my hand is over my heart." And she just couldn't understand this. She tried to talk him out of it. And then she asked him the question, "Well, what do you think is your heart? Why do you think that is your heart back there?" And he said, "Because whenever my grandma visits, she picks me up and she pats me back there and she says, 'Oh, bless your little heart.'" And Granny doesn't lie, you know. So ever since the day that Jesus said, "Let the children come unto me," no one has ever been able to get in between that special relationship between Christ Jesus and children. It's a relationship that is highlighted for us in Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way that they should go, and even when they're old, they're not going to turn away from it. What does this tell us? It tells us that there is something that is powerful about how the Word of God in the Bible becomes imprinted in the experiential DNA of children. Now, what do I mean? Well, when we go to God's Word, what do we hear? We hear stories of courage and hope and forgiveness and faith and renewal and personal sacrifice. And though these are big themes that even we as adults, you know, we struggle with those themes, don't we? Scripture encourages us that it's important to begin layering these stories in the lives of our little ones at a very early age. "He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children," the scripture says, "so the next generation would know them." That's in part what we are here for, to teach the next generation the words of truth, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. You see, so there's a knock-on effect that God wants the church to have when we teach little children. It's not just for the children, but it's so when they grow, like when you were children and you grew up, then you taught the Word of God then to your children and so on and so forth. In other words, God doesn't want us to underestimate the kingdom values that children are capable of learning about. And sometimes, as Jesus points out, children are even better at understanding kingdom values than what adults are. Yep, that's true. So listen to this explanation of God by Danny Dutton. Now, little Danny Dutton, he's age 8, and he had this third grade homework assignment that was given to him. And the assignment was called Explain God. Have you ever had someone approach you and say to you, "Can you explain God for me?" Well, little Danny Dutton, he took a shot at it, and here's what he says. Quote, "One of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die so that there will be enough people on earth to take care of things here on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups. He makes just babies, I think because they are smaller and easier to make. That way, he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them to walk and to talk. He gives the mothers and the fathers that job to do. Second, God's most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on since some people, like preachers and things, they pray at times besides bedtime. God doesn't have time to listen to the radio or TV because of this. Because he hears everything, there must be a terrible lot of noise in God's ears, unless he has thought of a way to turn it off. God sees everything and hears everything and is everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your mom and dad's head asking them for things that you know that you can't have. Atheists, little Danny Dutton says, are people who don't believe in God. I don't think that there are any in my hometown. At least there aren't any that come to my church. Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on the water and performing miracles and trying to teach people things that they didn't want to learn about God. And they finally got tired of hearing him preach, and so they crucified him. But he was good and kind like his father. And he told his father that they didn't know what they were doing and to forgive them. And God said, okay. His dad, God, appreciated everything that he had done and all his hard work on earth. And so he told him that he didn't have to go out on the road anymore and that he could stay with his dad in heaven. So he did. And now he helps his dad out by listening to prayers and seeing things which are important for God to take care of and which ones he can take care of himself without having to bother God. Like a secretary, but only more important. You can pray anytime you want and they are sure to hear your prayers because they got it worked out as to which one is on duty to hear your prayers. You should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there's anybody that you want to make happy, it's God, says little Danny Dutton. Don't skip church to do something that you think will be more fun, like going to the beach. This is wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out on the beach until noon anyway. If you don't believe in God, besides being an atheist, you will be very lonely because your parents can't go everywhere with you like to camp, but God can. It is good to know he's around you when you're scared in the dark or when you can't swim or the big kids throw you into the deep end of the pool. But you shouldn't just always think of what God can do for you. I figure God put me here for a reason, but he can take me back home anytime that he pleases. And that's why, little Danny Dutton says, I believe in God. Our role within the church, then, is to take this responsibility of starting children off on the way that they should go very seriously. And here at St. John's, we have. How have we done this? In three important ways. The first is that St. John's offers a robust Sunday school curriculum to our children. This is the place that children can come and learn about God. Amen? Amen. Faithfully, Sunday after Sunday, our children and the kids of the community are taught from God's Word. In fact, they're doing that right now. They have a chance to interact with the Bible in fun and in creative ways, and our godly play program is very much a part of this. Bonnie Hoffman, she's not here in the sanctuary. She was here before the kids went out. Now, Bonnie, many of us know Bonnie. She has been our point person in leading our Sunday school ministry for years and years, and we celebrate the loving ways in which she has cared for and taught and inspired our children. Thank you, Bonnie. Bonnie and a whole brigade of Sunday school teachers, they have given selflessly of themselves for decades because they believe that when a child is taught the scriptures, there is an eternal investment that is being made in their lives. You heard me say to the children this morning, no one brought me to church when I was little. So think of the internal investment that is being made in the lives of these children. Now, there is no doubt that Bonnie and so many others under her leadership, they have helped to change the life of a child. Now, secondly, St. John's engages in an amazing venture of faith every summer, as I've mentioned earlier, called Vacation Bible School, VBS. VBS is our opportunity to bring the children of our church and the community together in a positive and uplifting experience that centers upon God's love and God's guiding word. Now, from my understanding, we've been doing VBS here at St. John's for years and years and years. Does anybody know how long we've been doing VBS for here at St. John's? Anybody want to venture a guess? Is it 10, 15, 20 years? Chris, would you happen to know? Anybody? When you were a child, Laura. Okay. All right.
And so,
You went to Vacation Bible School, so we're talking the span of several decades here. And so imagine with me the countless number of little lives, they're now grown-up lives, if you will, that have been touched with God's love and grace. It's probably way too many to count over the decades, for sure. And here, we must applaud the fantastic efforts of our own Christine Schwalbach, our VBS planner extraordinaire. Months out from summer, I know Christine is planning and laying the important groundwork for VBS. She's looking at curriculum, recruiting volunteers to teach, setting up classrooms, organizing activities. And I'm sure that on more than one occasion, Christine's dining room table has been turned into VBS Central. Would that be true, Christine? I'm sure it is, for sure. Let's show our appreciation for Christine this morning. Yes? And so we are looking forward to the start of VBS tonight. I'm going to be here, and we want to invite the congregation. Come along. See what's going on in VBS. Even if you don't have a role to play, what did Jesus say? Let the little children come unto me. Wow, that's something wonderful that is well worth coming to see and to watch what the kids are learning and how they discover more about God's Word and God's love. They are being used by the Lord to change a child's life. Thank God for Vacation Bible School. Now, finally, we remember the important place of confirmation. How many of you were confirmed in the church? I'm just kind of curious. I wasn't, actually, but wow, there's quite a few hands going up. Thank you for that. And presently, we have a couple of young men that are enrolled in confirmation with me, and they are doing absolutely wonderful, I want you to know. And confirmation allows the opportunity to kind of delve just a little bit deeper into God's Word and to build upon and strengthen the scriptural foundation of faith that has been shared in their life through either Sunday school or Vacation Bible School. So whether they are larger groups getting the gospel as we offer VBS or classes such as Sunday school or smaller individualized teaching like confirmation is, let's remember, let's celebrate, let's support the powerful role that St. John's has had in opening that door of truth to thousands of children through so many years. It is this that makes us the best of who we are. Amen.